foods on earth. Come try a delicious, all-natural, 100% juice that comes with a 90-day money-back guarantee. To learn more about the secrets of the goji berry, call 877-888-4777. To learn more about the secrets of the goji berry, give us a call at 877-888-4777. That's 877-888-4777.
You're listening to FirstAmendmentRadio.com, Galaxy 13, Channel 16, Audio 7.70, and worldwide on the Internet at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Roll away the dawn, roll away the dawn, and let me see the land of the free. Has anything changed at all? Sweet liberty, sweet liberty is in our hands. It's part of the plan, or is it a state of mind? Never forget!
You're listening to Jackie Patru and Sweet Liberty. And now, here's your host, Jackie Patru.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us tonight on Sweet Liberty. I'm on late. We have a guest lined up. She's trying to call right now. I'm going to have to disconnect here, and I'll be right back. Hello?
Roll away the dawn, roll away the dawn, and let me see the land of the free. Has anything changed at all? Sweet liberty, sweet liberty is in our hands. It's part of the plan, or is it a state of mind? Horses and men, horses and men are on the field. They didn't yield. Many have fallen here. Never forget, never forget what they have done. The time will come when it will change again. Never. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm back with you. I so apologize for that. We have a guest calling in tonight. Hold on. Melissa. Nicholas said you can call in the guest line at WFAR, honey, and it'll be much better. And that you would dial 559-781-3553. Thanks very much, honey. Okay, bye. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I apologize for this. It is very interesting. When I have a guest, they call me. I have conference calling, and if you have conference calling, you know that there is a dial tone you get when you push your button. And I'm not getting a dial tone to be able to patch my guest in, isn't it? There is an open line, in other words. It isn't in this house, I will guarantee you that, or I wouldn't have got the first dial tone. Anyway, this is a Wednesday, and it is the 23rd of March in the year 2005. And our spiritual message this evening, let me do this, and that I believe our guest may be with us. She is calling and going to be on the guest line from WFAR, because we couldn't get through this way. This is from Matthew 25, beginning with verse 35, and this is excerpted. Jesus said, "For I was hungry, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in, naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Inasmuch as you have done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me." Inasmuch as ye have done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. And they are doing it to Terry Schiavo, ladies and gentlemen. Melissa, are you there?
Yes, I am, Jackie.
Oh, wonderful. I can't even hardly hear you.
I know. I'm having a hard time hearing you, too.
Oh, geez. I wonder if Nicholas is there and if he can do some kind of tweaking with the...
Yeah, when he picked up the phone to ask me if I could hear you just now, I could hear
good.
Him much better.
Okay, well, because you are...
I can hear you. It's just a little low volume.
Well, you sound like you're 1,000 miles away.
Oh, no.
And if Nicholas can do anything... Are you there?
Yes.
Speak up. Let me hear you, honey.
Hi, I'm here.
Oh, boy. I hope our listeners can hear you, Melissa.
I'm almost screaming. I'm talking so loud.
All right, well, folks, this is Melissa Stanley tonight. Melissa Roxanne Stanley. She has an awesome website for Terry, and her work for Terry, her efforts on Terry's behalf have been endless, nonstop, day and night. And so she's with us tonight. And Melissa, I'm so glad you're here tonight, honey.
Well, I'm so glad to be here. Thank you.
You don't want to do it by yourself. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, I told you I received an email just before we went on the air. And this came from Margaret Juneman. And folks, I don't know if you heard Jeb Bush's press conference today. He's standing there looking all undone and his hair tousled and looking very disturbed, waiting for the state legislature in Florida to pass a bill so something can be done for Terry. And he really puts on a good act. The reporters were there, and they asked if the Department of Children and Family could take Terry into protective custody. Bush said something about that they wanted to do their investigation, but there's something about they weren't able to get the records that they needed. I guess George Greer, the black-robed judge up there, is not giving them to them. But one of the reporters asked, does the Children Family Department... Hello?
Jackie, your guest is perfect.
Oh, thanks, Eleanor.
Always.
Thank you very much, honey.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. You're perfect, Melissa.
Okay.
So it's only me that has trouble hearing you, honey.
Good.
And that's wonderful. Anyway, One of the reporters asked if the department has the authority to take Terry into protective custody, and his Raquel Rodriguez, one of his legal team, came up to the mic and said, yes, they do, just like that. And but, of course, nothing was being done. And just before we went on the air, I got the email from Margaret Juneman and said that Raquel Rodriguez, the governor's general counsel, confirmed that DCF has the emergency power to take Terry into protective custody and that she would not rule that out. Judge Greer said Governor Bush has no authority to do so and is now attempting to block the DCF from entering the hospice and taking Terry into protective custody.
Wow. Doesn't surprise me with Greer, though.
Boy, he's got some protection around him, doesn't he?
He does.
Oh, okay, now listen, honey. You told me tonight that you had been frantically going through your material, pulling up and printing out, and you want there's information.
I actually didn't get a chance to, but it's in my head, and I know, you know.
Okay, because I want you to begin whatever it is. You know, I have been covering this pretty thoroughly with our listeners.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't matter because we don't have all the information. So where do you want to begin here?
Well, I'd like to start by letting everybody know, in case they're not aware, that what's going on with Terry is murder.
Melissa, let me say this, honey.
Yes.
I want to say this to you. You are not speaking to an audience that is hearing this for the first time.
Okay.
We have said it over and over and over that this is murder.
Okay.
Just so that, see, I don't, I, in other words, you don't
I wanted
to
read the Florida statutes regarding what's going on.
Good. You do that, and I'm going to be away from the mic for a minute.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Basically, what's going on is Judge George Greer of the Sixth Circuit Court in Florida, he is the judge that has been in control of this case for years, and he makes illegal rulings all the time, and his rulings always are in favor of Terry's husband and guardian, Michael Schiavo, and against Terry's family, the Schindlers. Terry's family has attorneys of their own, but Terry has not been allowed to have her own attorney to represent her throughout this entire legal matter. She's never had her own attorney. That is a flagrant violation of her rights. You know, she's entitled to those rights by due process, and this is one of the things that kept going to all the courts just today. It was regarding have her due process rights been violated, and of course they have. You know, she has right under Florida law, as do all of us, have the right to have our own attorney to represent us in court. So that, number one, should give her the right to a trial, a new trial, based on that alone. Number two, the corrupt judge in this case, Judge Greer, who I just mentioned is in the Sixth Circuit Court in Florida, he's the one he's just a runaway judge, and he actually made three orders now to, the first two were to remove Terry's feeding tube. Now, that was legal, even though the entire case was corrupt. Really, it wasn't legal because of that, but it is legal in the state of Florida. If a judge orders a feeding tube to be removed because it is considered artificial life support, and that was passed into Florida law in 1999. It was made a law stating that a feeding tube would be called artificial life support. And they basically view it as like medicine. So, you know, they say if people want to withhold things, they keep talking on TV, if people want to withhold medicine and things, well, the Florida statutes keep stating over and over that mercy killing of euthanasia is not authorized. And
Melissa?
Yes?
I wish I could hear you, but I think I heard you say, did you say they passed a law?
Wait,
let me ask my question,
okay.
Honey.
I'm sorry.
Did you say that they passed a law in Florida that food and water is artificial?
No, no. A feeding tube. A feeding tube is considered artificial life support. Food and water has nothing to do with it. A feeding tube only. But the thing that I was going to mention is, in the two previous orders by Judge Greer to remove Terry's feeding tube were just that, to remove her feeding tube. And that's what we saw happen in April of 2001 and October of 2003 when Terry's feeding tube was removed. But both of those times, they broke the law and they were committing attempted murder at those times, because although Judge Greer didn't put this in his order, Michael and his attorneys and all the people that refused to give Terry food and water once her tube was removed were basically committing attempted murder at that time.
Yeah,
if she would have died, they could have been charged with murder by law. That doesn't mean they're going to charge him with murder, but I'm just saying it was against the law what they did. Now, in Judge Greer's latest order, he actually stated in there for Michael to withhold nutrition and hydration from Terry. That's like an act of murder that Judge Greer ordered. That is against Florida statutes, against the law. And it's illegal in the United States to commit euthanasia and assisted suicide. Assisted suicide is only legal in Oregon. It is not legal in Florida. So for them to go on television, all these so-called experts everywhere, and say that, oh, it's her wishes. Number one, she never had any such wishes. That's just Michael Schiavo trying to say Terry had wishes because he wants her dead. That's in his best interest because he's trying to finish off what he started on February 25th, 1990, when he severely beat Terry all over her body, causing numerous broken bones.
We've talked about the bone scans.
Yes.
I have read them, the Florida statutes.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about the... I just want you to know what we've covered.
Right. There's a lot of people, though, that may not have listened. There's
a lot of people that... The broadcast costs our listeners $140 an hour.
Okay.
And I want you to know what we've covered.
Okay.
So we aren't just repeating information,
okay,
honey.
Okay.
Because, listen, I have covered this. We've talked about the statutes, that all the laws that prohibit what is happening, withholding her nutrition, withholding her necessary therapy, that the law exists, that right now they are breaking the law, that they don't need the state legislatures to write a new law. They don't need the U.S. Congress to write a new law. That the law is on the books and the law is being...
That's right.
...is being violated. It is a criminal offense. It is a felony. It is murder.
It is.
And, but see, our listeners are all up on this, honey.
Okay.
I mean, I've been doing this for the last 3 weeks, Melissa.
Okay.
So, you know what we talked about today?
Yeah, and I do want to go over what's wrong with Terry and the fact that all of the people on television and the judges in the case and her husband and her husband's attorney all are stating the same lies over and over, and they're saying that Terry's brain has liquefied and her cerebral cortex is missing, and actually the Supreme Court in the state of Florida actually said in one of their opinions that it would take a miracle to recreate her missing brain tissue, and there's no hope for her to ever get better. There's no treatment out there that can help her, and that is nothing but a total lie. And you heard today when Jeb Bush was doing his press conference, and they mentioned that Dr. Cheshire was his name, who I've never heard of. They say he's a neurologist, I believe.
Oh, this guy was Dr. William Cheshire,
yes,
of the Mayo Clinic in Jacksonville.
Okay.
This is on the email that I got from Margaret. Spent 1 hour in Terry's room observing her,
mm-hmm,
and also watched the full set of the exam videos of Terry. He's concluded that Terry has been misdiagnosed and is not in PVS, but instead is in a minimally conscious state.
And I disagree with that totally. I say
minimally conscious, yeah. But
right,
at least
she's fully conscious.
He's saying that she is not in a permanent vegetative
state. That's better
state
than saying she's in a PVS, because she's definitely not. And that's what Judge Greer ruled, is that she's in a PVS, and he's legally blind. He could not read any of the documents put before him. He was 20 feet away from a 19-inch television screen looking at video of Terry when he claimed he count the number of times she did not respond to commands and to her mother's questions, etc. And under law in Florida, if a person, they're trying to state someone has PVS, they just have to respond once to
prove they're
not PVS.
He changed the law. He changed the definition of PVS from the bench.
He is legislating
from the bench.
That's right. And he used Ronald Cranford's definition of PVS. And Ronald Cranford is the main person that testified on Michael's behalf that Terry was in a PVS state, and this person travels around the country. He's a doctor, and he travels around the country testifying on behalf of people that want other people dead to say, yes, this person is in a persistent vegetative state. They're never going to come out of it, and to remove whatever type of life support they're on, be it feeding tube, respirator, or whatever it is. He will always do that for them. He's their, you know, they got it in the bag guy. And he was on TV last night, and Sean Hannity had him on the show. Did you see that, Jackie?
No, I can barely hear you, honey.
Okay.
I'm picking up a word here and there.
Okay.
What did you say?
Ronald Cranford, who was the main doctor.
Oh, but he was on somebody's...
Sean Hannity on Hannity
and
Combs.
Hannity, okay.
Okay, and Sean Hannity has a brother, and he's a radiologist, and he was saying that, I'm sorry, he's not a radiologist. I can't remember what his brother is, but he's some type of medical person. And he said that he asked Ronald Cranford, did he make certain quotes? And one of them was, if someone has Alzheimer's, did you state that they should have their feeding, they should never be hooked up to a feeding tube if they have Alzheimer's? Ronald Cranford said that if a person has Alzheimer's, to never even hook them up to a feeding tube if they need a feeding tube, to not bother even hooking them up, basically just to let them die.
Wow.
And he asked Ronald Cranford that, and he admitted he said it. And he also said, did you say that a person in a persistent vegetative state has no constitutional rights? And he finally admitted that, yes, he had said that too. And this is the person that testified in Terry's case for Michael Schiavo.
Wow.
And Terry has never had an MRI or a PET scan, which is necessary test they need to do to look at her brain. She's not brain dead, and she's not PVS, and she's not unconscious.
She doesn't have a big black hole in her head, in her
brain. She does not. What she has is, due to her husband Michael striking her in the head and giving her a head injury. We don't know how he did it, but we do know the bone scan showed she had a closed head injury. And this was back in 1990 when she first so-called collapsed.
He was probably banging her head against the floor while he was strangling her.
Or he could have struck her head with an object, or he could have struck her head against the corner of a table. He could have hit her with anything. We don't know how, but we know that she had the injury, which they found 53 weeks later on the bone scan. And this was on the bone scan, and what I did was I heard Dr. Hamisfar, who examined Terry for the court, and he's the neurologist in Clearwater, Florida, and he's got very successful treatments where people come from around the world.
Is he located in Clearwater?
He's located in Clearwater, Florida,
wow,
Hamisfar Neurological Institute.
Uh-huh.
And he's been on TV in the last few days on certain places. They barely ever show him because they don't want to get the truth out. He's been at the vigil, and his office has been closed all week, I believe, because he's been doing interviews, and he's been campaigning for Terry to live and telling the truth about her. But he was on a radio interview on Highway to Health in January of last year, in 2004, and he stated some bombshell information about Terry and her condition and her brain and the fact of how they've done no real tests on her brain, and that her brain is not full of, you know, like her brain is not liquefied like they keep saying, and it would not create, you know, it would not take a miracle to recreate her missing brain tissue. He said
she has hydrocephalus, doesn't she?
I'm sorry?
Isn't that what he said? But he has hydrocephalus,
and that's caused by, it can be caused, you can be born with hydrocephalus. It's a buildup of cerebrospinal fluid in the ventricles in your brain, and this cerebrospinal fluid circulates throughout our bodies, and when there's a blockage, which can occur due to certain things such as trauma to the head, which Terry did suffer, it can stop that fluid from circulating in your body. It basically protects your brain. It's like a protective cushion around your brain. And so what happened was apparently Michael somehow hit her on the head, causing brain injury as well as hydrocephalus. So this fluid built up in the ventricles of her brain. And this is what Philos, who is Michael's lead attorney, Terry's husband's lead attorney, as well as the judges, all the corrupt judges at the Second District Court of Appeals, the Florida Supreme Court, Judge Greer, all of them, and they're all repeating the lies, as well as the people on television, the hosts of the shows even, are repeating these lies about Terry's brain. They're saying her head is full of fluid. One said today that her head was like an inkwell. This was the host of a show.
But her head was what?
Her head was like an inkwell full of ink.
Inkwell. Oh,
yes.
My God.
Yes, they've said her brain has liquefied.
Dr. Hennepar made the statement, I believe, that they could very easily, a very simple procedure to drain the excess fluid from off the brain, and that he believes that would even improve her her condition.
Yes, it would improve her ability to think, and I'm sure it would improve her ability to communicate.
Yes.
And her physical ability as well. It would help her in all those areas. And people that do have hydrocephalus do get the surgery and other treatments for it as well that are more cutting edge than the 45-minute surgery they can do.
I remember his report, his full report, which I read a lot
there,
to our listeners.
He doesn't talk about, like...
Let me finish this, honey.
Okay.
He said that there is a possibility that with the therapy, that she would one day be able to be sitting at the table eating with her family.
He didn't say that in his report, but I did hear him on television the other night saying that Terry could definitely walk again and could definitely recover greatly.
Yeah.
And, you know, other people have definitely had the same condition, and they've had it treated, and they've gotten, you know, 1,000% better than they were before.
One thing we have to remember is that she has laid in that bed or sat in that chair for at least 14 years without one bit of therapy.
Right.
So that the muscles are becoming spastic. And, of course, he said in his report that when he worked for about 40 minutes on that arm, that he got a 20-degree extension.
Actually, I think
40,
it was more like 80%. He was able to straighten her arm out about 80% of the way.
That's right.
And everybody says there's no way she can get better. Well, that's because of years of neglect due to her husband refusing any type of therapy or medical treatment for her. And he wanted to make her look as horrible as possible in everyone's eyes, you know, when they saw her with her hands contracted and you know, her arms to where she can't move them because of lack of therapy. But the truth is, like you just said, Dr. Hennepar proved during his exam and the notes he took to show what he did during his exam that, yes, she can benefit greatly from physical therapy. And then a speech pathologist has come forward stating she could benefit tremendously from speech therapy, and she could learn to talk again, and she's trying to communicate now.
Then that would certainly indict Michael Scheibel, wouldn't it?
That's his biggest fear.
We're at a half hour here.
Okay.
And we have to take a 60-second break. And we'll be back right after this. When that's over, if I'm not back to the mic, just get started, honey.
Okay.
I have to be away again.
You're listening to FirstAmendmentRadio.com worldwide. Freedom is never free. We need your support today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Roll away the dawn.
You have been listening to Jackie Petrou's Sweet Liberty program on the First Amendment Radio Network. This broadcast is also archived and audio streamed on the Internet at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Sweet Liberty is a fully listener-sponsored program. Your donations to support these broadcasts are a necessity. Send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, P.A. 16936. Again, send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, P.A. 16936. Be sure to visit the sweetliberty.org website. Thank you for your continued support. And stay tuned to FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Okay, I don't think Jackie's back, so I'm just going to go ahead and talk. I wanted to read some notes from Dr. Hamaspar from his interview that he did on January 7th, 2004 regarding Terry on Highway to Health. And these notes were written by Margaret Juneman. And basically, I'm just going to quote some of the things that Dr. Hamaspar said. He said that Terry's feeding tube is for the convenience of nurses, not because Terry needs it. Terry does not drool. Liquid is the hardest thing to swallow, and she swallows 1.5 to 2 liters of saliva a day. Terry is not in a persistent vegetative state or coma. She is a living, thinking person who makes choices and decisions. This is terrible. They are trying to kill her. While Dr. Hamaspar was examining her, he observed Terry chose to ignore her husband, Michael, and the person taking the video. When Terry heard her mother's voice, she smiled and tracked her. Terry moved her arms and legs as Dr. Hamaspar requested her to. Dr. Hamaspar mentioned during his 10-hour exam, Terry responded well to verbal requests to move, and even moved to the point where it caused her pain in order to comply with the request. He indicated that such movements are definitely not reflexive. Videotapes show Terry reacting to people. These are available on my website at SaveTerrysLife.com and on the Schindler's Family website at TerrysFight.org. And just scroll down on their main page to videos of Terry. And a person in a persistent vegetative state, by definition, allows no awareness of the world or ability to interact with the world. But Terry is definitely responsive.
Hello?
Are you there, Jackie?
Hello?
Can you hear me? Okay, I don't know if I'm on the air or not, but I'm just going to keep talking. And
Melissa.
Hello?
Melissa, can you hear me?
Yes.
We have a caller here, honey.
Okay.
Randy, go ahead, dear.
Yeah, well, I was appointed years ago to one of the Florida Human Rights Advocacy Committees by former Governor Martinez, and I also was a guardian ad litem at one point. And I can assure you that the governor does have the authority to put Terry under protection.
Yes, and we know that, and we know that he knows it, Randy. I just went out while we were on our break and was listening to Fox News. I wanted to hear what they were saying about DCF and this stupid announcer. This is day 6 for Terry, yes?
Right.
And this stupid announcer said, well, we're waiting for the decision of Judge Greer on the DCF for taking Terry into protective custody. And, of course, we should be hearing about that at least by tomorrow afternoon, Randy.
Yeah.
That by tomorrow afternoon.
Uh, Well, I haven't heard that.
Well, let me do this. Listen, let me share this with you and with our listeners. This is Florida Statute 415.1051, Emergency Protective Services Intervention. If the department has reasonable cause to believe that a vulnerable adult is suffering from abuse or neglect that presents a risk of death or serious physical injury to the vulnerable adult, the department may take action under this subsection, emergency entry of premises. If upon arrival at the scene of the incident, consent is not obtained for access to the alleged victim for purposes of conducting a protective investigation under this subsection, and the department has reason to believe that the situation presents a risk of death or serious physical injury, a representative of the department and a law enforcement officer may forcibly enter the premises. If it appears that the vulnerable adult is likely to incur a risk of death or serious physical injury, if such person is not immediately removed from the premises, then the representative of the department shall transport or arrange for the transportation of the vulnerable adult to an appropriate medical or protective services facility in order to provide emergency protective services. And then under here, Margaret, excuse me, sent it over. Governor Bush is mandated by law to enforce the laws of Florida, even to use the militia if needed.
So, all you have to do is use that DOE, and if they want to butt heads with the Pinellas County Sheriff, then bring it up.
They're all involved in the collusion, Randy.
Well,
you can read the attorney.
I'm familiar with that statute, but just like Jeff's brother earlier today said, the federal government is out of options, and there's something more they can do.
Yeah, right.
They could very easily send in the U.S. Marshals under the congressional subpoena
They're not out of.
They're out of options.
Yeah, they're out of options. They weren't out of options in Waco, were they, Randy?
Well, we can run all over the world. Defending your people in other country, and yet we can't even, with all of our might and power, we can't even protect or defend one little helpless woman and a disabled person.
There are people there. I don't know. How many people are there? Do you know, Randy?
I'm in Tallahassee.
All right. Well, it seems to me that the time has come for enough people to be there to create a human shield and just walk through the barricades.
There was a whole family arrested today from Texas.
There were two or three little children involved
there. Little children, right.
Well, I'm talking about...
on the show, and I saw it on the St. Pete Times paper. They had pictures of it. A 14-year-old girl, a 12-year-old boy, and their dad.
I'd like to know where Rick Stanley and his Rangers are today. But I'm just being facetious, Randy. Thank you for your... Melissa, is there something you wanted to say to Randy, honey? He can't hear you.
Well, I wanted to say you can go on SaveTerrysLife.com near the top of my site and see the attorney's letters that were written to Governor Bush in 2003, the last time they tried to kill her.
Oh, yes, I know. Randy,
they all state that he has the power.
What she's saying is at her website at SaveTerrysLife.com.
Right.
Right, Melissa?
Yes.
Yeah, well, he can't hear you, honey, so I'm repeating it to him.
Oh, I understand. I didn't know that.
Yeah, anyway, there are three letters that were written, and we...
More than three. There's several.
Okay, well, these were written by lawyers telling Governor Jeb Bush that he has the authority to take her into custody and do whatever needs to be done to get her.
Well, I'm not a lawyer. I'm a paralegal, and I'm just as versed in this as a lot of them. But the only thing that's going to save her, short of a divine intervention supernaturally, is somebody stepping up to the plate and taking on the force of arms and going in there and taking her into their care.
Well, what about a whole bunch of people without the force of arms? But maybe hundreds of bodies.
I said that to you over a week ago.
I know. Because I can't. Tomorrow afternoon, we'll get the judge's decision. Tomorrow afternoon is the eve of quorum, and they do things at a time of their choosing, and this is what concerns me so gravely.
Well, FERC does not need a court approval to go in there on an emergency basis.
You know that, yes.
So they have to get a court to review it after 4 days, but they have all the authority right now without a judge's okay to go in there and take care of her.
You know what? I wonder, I don't know if they have anybody on duty at Jeb Bush's office right now, but I think right now would be, or when this broadcast is over, wonderful for people to just start calling, faxing, and emailing and tell him that we know that you know, we can read the law, you wrote it, your legal team wrote it in the amicus brief back in October of 2003. You have the power, you have the authority. You could call out the guard if you needed to. Go get Terry now, or you are accessory to murder.
Jackie, I already wrote Mr. Bush and told him that if she dies, that her blood will be on his hands, and he'll be a partner in crime with Greer and Chavez.
Yeah.
You know, do you have the DCF phone numbers?
Yeah.
Okay. You should give those out for people to call.
Yeah, I'll do that right now, honey. Yes, thank you, Randy.
Sure.
Thank you for your call, honey. Okay, bye. Shoot. This isn't the one I have. Do you have Jeb Bush's phone numbers handy, Melissa?
Yes.
All right, you give them out. I'm going to get the numbers to DCF, honey. Or do you have those too?
I do have them. It'll take
me a
second.
Okay, I can get them. I know exactly where they're at. You give Jeb Bush's phone number, fax number, email address, give out the press secretary, his assistant, Donovan Brown. Do you have all those numbers?
Yes.
All right, I'll be right back. You give those numbers out now, honey.
Okay. These are numbers and contact information for Governor Jeb Bush, and his phone number is 850-488-7146. And again, that's 850-488-7146. And another phone number you can call him on is 850-488-4441. And that's 850-488-4441. His email address is jeb@jeb.org. So jeb@jeb.org. Another email address is jeb.bush@myflorida.com. And again, those email addresses are jeb@jeb.org or jeb.bush@myflorida.com. His fax number is 850-487-0801. And again, his fax number for Jeb Bush is 850-487-0801. Another fax number for Governor Bush is 850-922-4292. And again, that is 850-922-4292. Governor Bush's press secretary, assistant Donovan Brown, phone number.
Donovan Brown is the assistant, honey.
Yes. Okay. His press secretary's phone number. I don't have the name here,
right.
But the phone number is 850-488-5394. And again, that's 850-488-5394. Jeb's assistant Donovan Brown's phone number, 850-410-0501.
Okay. Thank you. I've got the folks. When you contact the DCF, be sure to write this down, the statutes that we referred to. Florida statute is 415
415.1051. 415.1051. Emergency Protective Services Intervention. And when you contact them, you tell them that according to Florida statute, they should have done this days ago, and they should do it now immediately.
Years ago.
Their phone number is 850-921-2168. The area code is 850-921-2168. The fax number is 922-6720. 922-6720. Here's the email address. It is DCF for Department of Children and Family. DCF-O, S is in Samuel, C is in Charlie. So it's DCF-OSC at DCF.state.FL for Florida. .us. That is their email address. Once again, phone number is 8500, area code 921-2168, fax 922-6720, email address DCF-OSC, Oscar Samuel Charlie, at DCF.state. Oh, yeah, .fl for Florida, and then .us. I want to share something with you folks. I want to remember to do this. If any of you have signed a living will, you want to get rid of it. You undo it. Make out another will, and just say that any will that you have made beforehand is null and void. I want to quote you here. In fact, Melissa sent this. This has gone over to Darren to be posted on the website, Melissa. A quote from one of the Right to Killers. This is Professor Diane Irving, folks, regarding the living wills. And this is, she titled it, The Death Cults Invented Living Wills. And this is what Professor Diane Irving, how she summarizes the strategy of those who oppose the sanctity of life principle and promote euthanasia. Dear all, this is a quote. Statutes were enacted in the 70s and 80s authorizing living wills. They were the first of a three-part strategy to the ultimate goal of legalized euthanasia. Living wills were the first of a three-part strategy to the ultimate goal of legalized euthanasia. Gary Humphrey, founder of the Hemlock Society, said, quote, "We have to go stage by stage with the living will, with the power of attorney, with the withdrawal of this. We have to go stage by stage. Your side would call that the slippery slope. We would say, proceed with caution, learning as we go along how to handle this very sensitive situation." And are you the one that wrote this, Melissa? That's all the controlled media has been saying for years?
That's all they're doing in this case.
Yeah,
that's all you hear.
And what she said, folks, they're saying is you've got to get a living will so this won't happen to you. Well, Hank Panetti in the next county from me got one of this on the same day. He gave his wife durable power of attorney to make all medical decisions, and they murdered him on December 8th on the anniversary of the date he got his living will.
Yeah, he lives in the next county from me. He lives in Lake County, and I'm in Volusia County, Florida.
I want to share something. I was talking to my sis earlier this evening, and she was saying that she heard the emotion and the stress and et cetera. And as we were talking about Terry, I remembered last night, I call this my twilight zone. I don't know if you've ever had this happen,
just before, as you're drifting into sleep, but you're not asleep. And I saw Terry standing by her body. However, that silver cord was still intact, and she was beautiful, and she was peaceful, and she was standing there as though, you know, when this happens to me, not only do I see these things, but there are impressions that come with them, and she was very beautiful, very silver looking, and it was as though she was standing there waiting for whatever's going to happen, and what occurred to me, in fact, I remember saying, she's a saint, almost as though that this is why she came here to do what is happening right now, and it occurred to me that this moment in time is a trial for so many people who have the opportunity to do the right thing. And it is a watershed. It isn't just a watershed case for the killers, the right to kill death cults, but for each and every one of us as individuals to make the right choice, to do the right thing. And all of those people involved who are sitting back waiting, this is their trial too, folks. But what I mostly noticed is that Terry was so at peace. She was so at peace. And that, when I remembered it and told my sis about it, it actually helped me to feel a little bit more peaceful, because it is as though she was standing outside of her body, you see, but still connected. That silver cord was still connected. It didn't mean that she has left the body and has gone on to other dimensions. But there is a peacefulness there, and it made me feel peaceful remembering that from last night. I forgot it, totally forgot it, when I woke up this morning, Melissa.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know what she's going through now is not peaceful at all, and it's the most horrendous way to die.
We have no idea that the possibility is that she can step outside of that. That possibility exists, honey. And that silver cord was still attached, too.
Well, I just want people to know that dehydrating to death is probably the most torturous way to die.
I
don't believe the lies in the media.
I've read it to them more than once.
Yes.
And I've asked them when they call radio broadcasts to describe when people are saying she's starving to death. No, she will not starve to death. If you have water, you could live for 30, 40 days without food.
Right. Well, I just wanted to say, because on the cable TV news channels, many, many people have been stating again and again, including Michael, his attorneys, and the experts, so-called, that lie, and the hosts of the shows, they're all complicit in her murder, in my opinion, and I have them on videotape. I've probably got about 10 videotapes full of 6 hours each of the lies they've been telling, and I'm definitely going to hold on to those. And they've been saying she'll just slip off into a peaceful sleep, and she'll never feel pain, and she's not being dehydrated to death. Michael said she's not being starved to death. No, she's being dehydrated to death.
Yeah, you know what he said in that interview with Larry King Live?
Mm-hmm.
He said, Terry isn't being starved to death. We're withholding her food and water.
And one more thing.
This happens all the time across this country.
Right.
That's what he said.
Well, he gave the example of how people with cancer, you know, won't eat when they're, you know, dying of cancer. Well, Terry's not dying of cancer or any terminal disease.
Yes, he's not dying.
He's being murdered.
Except by her murder.
And I want to point out something. When they do this, Jackie, what I think their goal is to make food and water life support with this case, Jackie, meaning that any one of us, we don't need a feeding tube for them to pull out and try to murder us like they did Terry. What they're going to try to do once they set the precedent with this illegal case is they can withhold any of our food and water. We don't need a feeding tube for them to say,
right,
go ahead and kill her.
Right.
And that was their goal.
I think that maybe it was Margaret that told me this. She called me this evening, and maybe it was she that said it, that there was somebody, some doctor or something, on one of the shows, the news things, and he said that feeding by hand is considered artificial life support. If they, in other words, what if somebody lost their arm and everything else in their body was intact? But this is what Margaret heard on one of the shows.
Well, all they do is lie on all these shows.
Well,
and they have the public convinced that they're telling the truth.
Yes.
The public doesn't go and do the research like we've done.
Yeah. We're just a couple minutes away from the end of our hour here. And, folks, I don't come back on the air until Monday. And by Monday, we know that probably this will have been settled one way or another. I keep thinking that tomorrow is the eve of Purim. Friday is a Purim. And is this a time of their choosing? And it doesn't have to be, because they are not infallible. But we cannot, no matter how hopeless it might look, we have got to keep on keeping on. And I urge you to do this tomorrow and Friday, as long as Terry is drawing a breath. Do not give up, ladies and gentlemen. And bombard Jeb Bush's office. Let them know what we know, and that we know that he knows this. I think that's why he was looking a little harried today.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, maybe he's not quite well enough into the mind control to where he's in that, what they call clear eyes, the way
mm-hmm.
Clinton was, the way Bush is. They can
mm-hmm.
stand up there and lie, and they
right.
just are so believable. It's unbelievable because
right.
they believe it themselves. I don't know. Looking at Jeb Bush today, he didn't look like he believed it very much, Melissa.
Right.
So we need to keep bombarding him, folks.
And I want to tell the people I didn't give out the White House number. I can, or they can go to my website.
Forget that.
Okay.
No, just Jeb Bush and DCF, folks. Please do that. Just bombard them. And Melissa, I want to acknowledge you and thank you.
And thank you.
For not just being here tonight, but for your tireless work for Terry. Honey, you are one of our heroes and one of Terry's heroes. And ladies and gentlemen, I'll be back with you on Monday. God bless you. Thank you for being here. And thank you for your efforts to Terry. We'll
yes.
see you back Monday. Good night.
Thank you, Jackie, for everything.
Thank you, darling. Good
bye
night.
Bye.
Good night, ladies and gentlemen.
Roll away the dawn.
You have been listening to Jackie Petrou's Sweet Liberty program on the First Amendment Radio Network. This broadcast is also archived and audio streamed on the internet at firstamendmentradio.com. Sweet Liberty is a fully listener-sponsored program. Your donations to support these broadcasts